You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Tuesday, March 6th, 2018, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoy the show, please consider subscribing to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And if you enjoy the show, please leave it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate it. Well, we now know what the salary cap is in the year 2018 for the NFL. Their reports came out Monday that the league has informed owners that the cap will be set at $177.2 million. So, again, another increase for the salary cap. And for close to a year, people have been projecting the amount of cap space the Jets would have, and those projections were always just estimates because nobody knew what the cap was. You know, you don't know the cap until shortly before the new league year begins, so those were just estimates. Now we have a better idea, and the Jets have around 89.2 million in cap space, according to Over the Cap, the great website with all sorts of contract salary cap information. If you have never checked out Over the Cap and you want to learn about the way the salary cap works, it's probably the best resource there is out there. Now, the number is one thing to consider about that number is that the Jets probably have a little less cap space than that, because in the offseason, only the top 51 players on your roster count against the cap, whereas during the regular season, you have a 53-man roster, and you also have a practice squad who count against your salary cap. And when I say top 51, what I mean is during the offseason, you're allowed to have up to 90 players on your roster. That's what you bring to training camp. So only the top 51 salaries count against the cap. Once the regular season starts, everybody counts, 53 players, 10-man practice squad, up to a 10-man practice squad. But those are not big-time game changers. Those aren't the types of things that really move the needle a ton. So it's probably still around 89.2 million. But it's a little less than that, so we'll talk. We're still in the high 80s, probably, and the Jets have a couple other decisions to make on this. I mean, they can open up, they can create another $6 million in cap space by cutting Buster Screen, which is a move they probably should make, if we're going to be honest. I'm not sure they're going to make it, but they should. Buster Screen's certainly not, I don't care how high the cap is, Buster Screen's not worth $8.5 million against the cap this year. James Carpenter could be cut, which would open up around $4.7 million. Question with Carpenter, you know, a couple of questions. How does he fit the new system? Perhaps not great. If you look at his skill set, if you look at his past performance in a similar system, and there's also a question of performance with him. And it's something I've said is, this is not a guy who's been a 10-year quality player in the league. This is a guy who had 2 good years with the Jets and now has had 1 bad year, so do you want to bring him back? $4.7 million in cap savings if you cut him. I don't think that one's an obvious one. And then you have Jermaine Kearse as another potential cap casualty at $5.5 million. That's what the Jets would save if they cut him. I think that one's probably unlikely because the Jets have a lot of questions at receiver. And Kearse is a nice piece of insurance to have. You know, is he a great receiver? No. Is he a great value at $5.5 million? No. But he's not a terrible value at $5.5 million. He's not a bad guy to have around when one of your top two receivers is coming off a very serious injury and the other one is potentially facing discipline from the league. And even if you bring somebody new in, you might want to keep Kearse around for training camp just to have him there. So the Jets are looking at a lot of cap space, and presumably they're going to be pretty active in free agency because, I mean, they at this point they have a comedic amount of cap space. And as we've discussed, one of the important points to know is the reason that they have cap space, this degree of cap space, is not because they've managed their situation particularly well. This cap space is a direct result of not having good players. There's cap space. There's good cap management. Good cap management is when you have a good team and you still have a lot of flexibility to make moves that you want to make, where you have a nice amount of cap savings that you can utilize to improve your team if you're in a situation where you need to. But you still have a good team, and a year ago the Patriots had tens of millions of dollars in cap space. They were able to be active players in free agency, in the trade market, bring in some new guys to improve their roster after they had won a Super Bowl. So that's the situation you want to find yourselves in. The Jets are in a situation where they have a lot of cap space because they just don't have good players. Good players are what cost money, so if you don't have good players, you're not going to have guys eating up a lot of that cap space. And it's a product of a couple things. It's a product of bad drafting because lots of guys should be on second contracts for this team if the Jets drafted better, and second contracts are more expensive. And that's the reason the draft is so important, is that it's the easiest way to find impact players for cheap prices. Because when you're on your rookie deal, your cost is controlled. Once you get to that second contract, you're due a raise. And the Jets just have not had many players who were worth raises. And the second lesser reason that the Jets have a lot of cap space is simply they have messed up so many free agent signings in recent years. The 2015 free agency class, which worked for about a year, really did not pan out. The Jets essentially signed those guys as replacements for players who would be on their second contracts. So essentially, those were the guys who were the Jets' versions of players on their second contracts. Jets didn't have enough impact players. The Jets were not able to draft enough impact players under Mike Tannenbaum, John Idzik. So Mike Maccagnan comes in and he essentially decides that we're going to replace the homegrown players we should have had with free agents, and that did not work either. So the Jets essentially had to spend a year clearing off those salaries, getting those contracts off the books. There was still some dead money, and here they are now once again with a lot of cap space. So now we head into another free agent period where the Jets are probably going to be active. I think now we are going to find out whether Mike Maccagnan has learned his lesson or whether he hasn't from that 2015 free agent spending spree, which really did not pan out for this team. They got a 1-10-win season out of it where they didn't even make the playoffs, so I don't think there's any way to view that initial spending spree as a success. And I think it's tricky because you have guys who are fighting for their job, guys who need to improve this team. So there's danger there, but I think the lesson you have to learn is that just because you have the money doesn't mean you necessarily want to spend it all at once. And there are a couple reasons for that. First of all, free agency, spending in free agency at least, does not necessarily guarantee you a winner, and there are numerous examples of that. The Jets in 2015 are a great example, and there are years where the big spender in free agency, one of the top spending teams in free agency, has a good year and it looks like, oh wow, these moves worked out, and then 1 year later everything collapses. And another good example would be the Giants of 2016, who went to the playoffs a year after they were very active in free agency, and then 2017 they fall apart. It's just not that easy to build your team through free agency, which means it probably requires a more cautious approach. And even going back to 2015, one of my biggest concerns when the Jets hired Maccagnan, and this was not a Mike Maccagnan concern, it was a Jets concern, was that the Jets were going to hire somebody who would overcompensate for what they had. And what they had prior to Maccagnan was John Idzik, who received a lot of criticism for his unwillingness to spend in free agency. And I think that Idzik may have been in over his head a little bit, because some of the moves he missed out on would have made sense for the Jets. But my concern was that the Jets would overcompensate and that they would spend just for the sake of spending. And looking back on it, I think that may have been what they did. I'm not sure whether they necessarily did it to appease the fans. I don't think it was necessarily due to fan pressure that they took that approach. I think they had to spend a little bit more than they did under Idzik in free agency just to build the roster. But I felt like the Jets were at points were spending just for the sake of spending. You know, they were trying to do it all at once. And I don't think that that was the right approach. And I had concerns at the time. But, of course, you have to let these things play out. You can't just, you know, maybe the Jets knew what they were doing at the time. So you can't jump all over them for that. But I had a lot of concerns at the time because they actually spent all the way to the salary cap. And that's a great way to get yourself into trouble in the NFL, is to spend a ton of money all at once. Because, well, first of all, when you're making a lot of signings, you're obviously going to miss out on some. You know, when you're signing players at the volume the Jets signed it in 2015, there are going to be some moves that don't work out. And that's clearly what happened. You know, you had your big ticket disaster in the Darrelle Revis contract, but you had your smaller scale failures. Marcus Gilchrist, Buster Skrine, you know, there were others. Bringing Antonio Cromartie back. Really, the Jets kind of struck out in the secondary that year. And so, you know, you have that issue. But the other problem is that just players are overpriced in free agency. Price matters with players. There are players out there who you'd love to have at $1 million, but at $10 million, they're negatives for your team. Positive at $1 million, negative at $10 million. So that value comes into play. A player's value, to some extent, is determined by his contract level, because a guy may give me a certain level of play that's a great bargain at $1 million. That's a terrible value at $10 million. And at $10 million, he's preventing me from improving my team, because that's $10 million that can't be spent to improve other areas. So you got to make sure you're getting good value in free agency. And that's a concern, because it's not something the Jets showed themselves to be particularly adept at 3 years ago. They just spent to the cap. And the other issue, there's one other issue, is that there just are not that many good players in free agency. There are lots of guys who just aren't that great. The league is set up in a way that prevents the truly great players from hitting free agency. There's, of course, the franchise tag, and for the life of me, I will never understand why the players' union allowed this franchise tag to come into existence. It essentially allows a team to continue to control a player it wants to keep, and the player has no real recourse to get to free agency. Now, it's not a terrible deal for the player. The player gets a lot of money. The player gets top five money in this position, but it's only for 1 year. It prevents the player from getting, you know, a long-term deal that can bring maybe twice as much, if not more, guaranteed money. So every team has this recourse to prevent the truly great players in the league, and that's why you rarely see difference makers, genuine difference makers, hit free agency. Instead, what you get are guys who think that they're difference makers, but probably aren't, because their team wouldn't lock them up. So with all this in mind, the Jets need to be careful, because as I look at this year's free agency class, I just don't see a ton of difference makers. I think if you signed all the players who are going to hit free agency, and I'm not including the franchise tag guys because those guys are not going to hit free agency, but if you look at all the potential free agents, I'm not sure you've got a great team even if you sign every single guy. What I see are guys who you could spend all your cap space on, but they're not necessarily going to turn you into a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And that's why the Jets need to be careful. That's why the Jets need to show that they've learned their lesson. And quite frankly, I think this is why we're still looking at a multi-year rebuild. You can't go for the quick fix. Just signing guys, you'll generate a lot of buzz, you'll generate a lot of excitement, but you're not necessarily going to build a playoff team. You can't look for the quick fix. It's going to take more than 1 year. This offseason's important. You're going to need to bring guys in who can improve the team, but they have to be guys who are good value. You can't pay for the market you wish you had. You have to pay for the market that's there. If there's no genuine superstar, you shouldn't be paying anybody genuine superstar money. All that's going to do is hurt your team in the long run. And it's a tough spot because, again, jobs are on the line. And this team, you know, the Jets keep talking about this long-term vision, how they're going to be patient. Well, at some point, you do have to show some progress. And they did not show a lot of progress in 2017. They've put up a second consecutive five-win season. So at some point, the needle's going to have to move forward, which puts pressure on the people running the team. But they're also under pressure to build a solid roster for the long term. So not an easy spot that they're in. And in some ways, the guys running this team have put themselves in this position by making bad decisions. In some cases, it's not their fault. They inherited a rough situation, but it's their job to fix it, and they're in year four. So that's where the Jets are right now. Jets need to be careful, but Jets also need to make smart signings to improve their team. If they try to go for the quick fix, though, we'll be right back where we are now in a couple of years. Thanks for tuning in today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. Options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll be back to talk more Jets on Wednesday.